Welcome, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And I'm going to introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, yes, he's back, Dr. Travis Yates, retired police major from the Tulsa Police Department. And he's also the founder of lawofficer.com. And you get more information at travishyates.org for more information. It's still travishyates.org. Is that correct, Travis? No? All right. His lips are pretty, but his mic is muted. And then we got Randy Sutton, retired police lieutenant from Las Vegas Metro Police Department, the founder of the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org. So thanks for being on the show as well, Randy Sutton. And a shout out to our sponsors, guys, our satellite sponsor. It is going to be Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. We've been on satellite since May. Also, Gauls.com, our title sponsor. We have AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arm sponsor. We have GunLearn.com, a Medicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. And thanks to Safeguard Recruiting, who Travis hooked us up with, we're streaming right now to over a million followers on this live show, so you got to love that. Also, TwoBells.com, they've built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com, so guys, go there, check out the cool gear. We don't make anything off of it. We're just trying to get our stuff out there. And also, FishOrlandoBass.com. Zach has got a bass fishing charter in the Orlando area, so next time you go to Disney with the wife and the kids or the grandkids, drop them off. Let them have a great time, hook up with Zach and do the bass fishing charter. Or if you're feeling very adventurous and you want to get a busted lip like me, do the alligator hunting. And it is catch and relocating the Florida alligator. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and Travis Yates with lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make this show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? You know, we got a main topic. They have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. And here it is. It's high time liberal judges are held accountable for failing to lock up violent career criminals. I saw this story and I'm thinking, we're having Travis and Randy on the show and we're not going to cover this. And that's just not even a possibility. So yeah, we're going to cover that. And it was well written. Not at their pleasure, Florida Governor DeSantis, his team is blocking lawmakers from alligator Alcatraz, saying that they just can't come and go at their own pleasure. So you got to love that. Body cam video shows a sucker puncher. This dude sucker punches a cop and it doesn't work out too well for him. I was so impressed and proud of this cop. Then Albuquerque, we're going to jump over there. We have a police officer fatally shooting a woman that had a knife in her hand. And then we have a Georgia, we have an opening in Georgia, guys. We have a police chief ended resigning. And wait till you hear, he resigns because he's using LPRs, which are license plate readers, to stalk and harass people. So yeah, we have a new opening in Georgia. Then we have a teenager smashing a drink on a cop's head. It's caught on video. And that cop, bless his heart, he was barely able to move fast enough to catch the kid, but he caught her, tackled her, and she went to jail. And then we have an armed robbery suspect shot by Albuquerque police officers after a brief foot pursuit. So that's the stories we're going to be covering. So if you guys are ready, let's start with the first main one, NewYorkPost.com. I'm going to go through this quickly. It's a lot of stuff, but it's high time liberal judges are held accountable for failing to lock up violent career criminals. And so we're starting off talking about DeCarlos Brown Jr. He slashed the throat of Erna Zaratuska. She's that 23-year-old Ukrainian girl that was on her way home from her job. And liberal judges who decide not to jail violent criminals or offenders and sadistic psychopaths, they ought to be held liable when these felons attack innocent civilians, according to our article. Now, two horrendous, unprovoked attacks on helpless young women on public transit in recent weeks would have never happened if the legal system would have done what it was designed to do in the first place. And instead, a Black Lives Matter inspired justice system has endangered the most vulnerable among us, women, children, the elderly and disabled. It talks about how we pay police and judges to keep evil and dangerous predators away from the weak and defenseless innocents. But these radical Democrats have been taking over blue cities and they're hell-bent on a destructive ideological crusade to defund police, close the jails, and install obedient judges who side with their perpetrator over the victim. And it talks about how law-abiding citizens who dare to try to defend themselves, and think about this for a second, or gallantly protect others, like the Good Samaritan Daniel Penny, or don't forget the other guy, it was also Perry in Texas. These guys end up being arrested, prosecuted, and even sent to jail. And then we've got a Queens senior citizen, Charles Foner. He's just been sentenced to 4 years in jail for a gun offense after he shot his mugger dead. Now, it talks about a couple cases, and not to dive too deep in this. This is all going on. We had the COVID and then the anti-cop, George Floyd protest that went on. Of course, the whole Derek Chauvin thing is a whole other story. But we got Bethany McGee, 26 years old, severely burned in the face and body when she was doused with gasoline by this loser in Chicago. And a repeat of felon, 72 arrests on his rap sheet, should have been in jail. The suspect, Lawrence Reed, 50, reportedly yelled burn alive and called her an expletive. Just horrible. And we got Judge Teresa Molina Gonzalez. You know, the prosecutor was, saying to keep him in jail, but she let him out on the streets in August with an ankle monitor, trusting him to abide by the curfew that she said. And of course, he did not. And then according to court transcripts by Chicago crime website, CWB Chicago, the prosecutor objected to this release, warning that the electronic monitoring would not protect the social worker victim or the community from another vicious, random, and spontaneous attack. But the judge, Molina Gonzalez, replied, I can't keep everybody in jail because the state's attorney wants me to. And you know what happened after that. And then we talk about the attack comes just 3 months after a similar unprovoked attack on another public transit in Charlotte, North Carolina, where we got our 23-year-old Ukrainian refugee on her way home from a pizza shop from working. And the suspect, Carlos Brown Jr., 34 years old, long rap sheet, he ends up, slicing her throat, killing her. And I can't remember. I know he used a knife. I can't remember exactly where he cut her, but, he's been treated by kid gloves at the legal system as well. And since COVID and the Black Lives Matter anti-cop riots in 2020, they're talking about decarceration. Remember that word? It's the fad in every blue state and city. And most people never heard about this outside the academic circles. And it means releasing people that are already in jail, diverting people away from incarceration and closing prisons and jails, or just blocking new ones from being built. And then, yes, it talks also about deinstitutionalization. And we're talking about our crazies, right? And when I grew up in the early 80s, we had mental health facilities everywhere. But now we don't put the crazy homeless people in institutions where they get help. We still institutionalize them, but we do it in prisons where they don't get the help they need. And it means violent predators are free to roam no matter what danger they pose. So it's really a great article. I've just touched on a very brief part of it, but love to hear what you guys think about holding judges. Well, there's one part I didn't add. There is moves afoot by lawmakers to start holding judges accountable when they allow dangerous repeat offenders to walk free, kind of like what we just talked about. And it also mentions that, cops and doctors were held liable for our mistakes. And is it about time that judges soon become, held liable for their mistakes and the consequences for a reckless decision? So there you go. Travis, you want to start us off on this?
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk in recent years about the qualified immunity that law enforcement has, and people misunderstand that. Doesn't mean you can't hold law enforcement accountable. It just means when law enforcement breaks the rules, breaks policy, breaks the law, they're going to be held accountable. It's called qualified immunity. Well, judges have absolute immunity. You can never hold them accountable. So the qualified immunity argument is a complete distraction from what the real problem is. There's plenty of cops being fired, arrested, you get in trouble, they all hit the news. There's not many of them, they all hit the news when it happens. But nobody wants to talk about the real problem, which is the carnage being done across this country by rogue judges and rogue prosecutors. They all have, once again, absolute immunity. And it's kind of funny to me, the same media outlets that will push these silly stories against law enforcement and qualified immunity never mention this fact. They never mention it.
Yeah.
And it's to keep the public sure, because if the public knew what I just said, they would be shocked and they'd be mad they'd been lied to, because they've been pitched a lie that cops can't be held accountable. And it's just not true. And so, by the way, same thing is with all government employees with qualified immunity, school teachers, police officers, things like that. But the absolute immunity, when this happens, there is nothing to hold them accountable. And yeah, it's a news story. It will pass. But it's probably time that legislatures around this country start looking at this, because this is doing real damage to our communities, and it's just turned into a debacle. And I'm very fortunate that at least the stories are being told, but boy, what a tragedy.
Thanks. You're spot on. And Randy, isn't qualified in the name of qualified immunity anyhow? People can't figure it out that we have to qualify before we get it anyhow.
It's one of the greatest lies ever told about law enforcement is the qualified immunity message that's been put out there. But So let's take it a step further, though. So judges and district attorneys, they can literally commit acts of misconduct by their rules and regulations, by the decisions that they make, and they're held harmless. The only place to do anything is vote them out. That's it. And then, of course, even where there are avenues of disbarment, because much of what they do is misconduct, is actual misconduct, but they're not held accountable. Even where there are the abilities of say governors to take them away from their duties. But I see we got a commercial coming up, so we'll pick it
Thanks,
up.
Randy. You're all right. First commercial break. Here we go, guys. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys. As police officers, we all know we can get our gear from just about anywhere, right? And I'm talking about goals at goals.com. But when you throw the online mix into it, it's almost limitless, right? All the sources you have. But I want to remind everybody, especially here during the holidays, about what's really important. And that is supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know if a company does that better than goals at goals.com. And listen to this. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. And not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And you know, they're going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, they've given me a radio code they give out to you guys. You can get 15% off your next order at Gauls.com. It's Radio15. So type in Radio15 in order to get 15% off your next purchase. And also they have gift cards. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they will be your new best friends. Again, that is Gauls at Gauls.com. All right, and now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com, and they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions that help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, and that stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries, and yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductor energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and their revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most hands-on, common-sense approaches that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. And please make sure you watch those cool videos as well. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by, yes, Dr. Travis Yates, retired police major from the Tulsa Police Department, and also Lieutenant Randy Sutton, founder of the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. I also see that we have retired Sheriff Jesse Watts, and he's watching the show on Facebook. Jesse, a shout out to your brother, and good to see you. So Jesse and I slept together during SHOT Show. In separate rooms in the same house. Jesse, I'm hoping that you don't mind me sharing that information with our national audience. But yeah, we're streaming over 1 million people right now. But I feel that I have bragging rights because I slept with Sheriff Jesse Watts. So that's all I'm saying. So, but anyhow, back to the topic at hand. We've been talking about holding judges accountable, and really primarily, the word woke, I don't believe, is in the article. But it really belongs there, and I really don't care, and I don't think you guys care whether it's a Republican or a Democratic judge. It just happens to be that most of them are liberal Democrats that are not holding these bad guys accountable. And when they are out of jail and walking the streets, and we're not protecting, our the people that we're supposed to protect, our citizens stuff, bad things happen, and there's no accountability. And I love the way that you guys touched on qualified immunity that cops get to enjoy only if they qualify for it. And then you brought, Travis broke the ice with the whole absolute immunity, because people just still don't understand. They can't wrap their head around prosecutors and judges get this absolute immunity thing going. And it's like, you don't have to qualify for it. You get it absolutely. It's crazy. So any more discussions on this?
Well, one other thing I want to talk about. This is all about consequences, or the lack of consequences. This is what we have seen This is why the criminal justice system has been degraded to the point where it is that there are no one wants to hold anybody accountable for their own actions. That includes the courts not holding criminals accountable, and the government not holding the courts accountable, the politicians not being held accountable for the ridiculous laws that they place on people that is destroying the criminal justice system from within. So it's a very pervasive problem, and it all really comes down to A, a lack of credibility on the part of the elected officials, and B, a lack of consequences for anyone for anything.
Love it. Spot on, gentlemen. Well, guys, if you're ready, let's move on to Alligator Alcatraz. You guys ready for that? You know, we've been talking about fishorlandobass.com, and Zach's got that bass fishing charter, and he's also doing the alligator hunting. So don't forget about that if you're going to Orlando. But at TampaFP.com, not at their pleasure, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, his team blocks lawmakers from Alligator Alcatraz. So, you know, you remember it wasn't long ago when we were talking about, Alligator Alcatraz, and then it was like we had judges, the same kind of judges we're talking about in the first article, right? These woke liberal judges that are trying to shut down Alligator Alcatraz. That did not last. So the administration of Governor Ron DeSantis, he has struck back against a lawsuit that was filed by Democratic legislators, surprise, arguing in court filings that individual lawmakers possess no inherent legal right to enter a controversial immigrant detention facility in the Everglades, quote, at their pleasure. Now, the dispute centers on a remote site, and it's really at that Dade Collier Training and Transition Airport, and it's pretty convenient that the airport's right there. It's dubbed Alligator Alcatraz. We have five Democratic lawmakers. They sued in July because they went there unannounced. They were going to do an unannounced inspection at the facility because they thought they had the right to, but they ended up getting turned away. So someone had stones, right, in order to be able to do that. So we've got, who's in the group? People might ask. And yeah, we've got senators and House reps. We've got senators Chevron Jones and Carlos Guillermo Smith. And then as far as reps go, we got Anna Eskamani, we've got Angie Nixon, and we got Michelle Rayner. And they contended that the denial, it violated state laws that grant legislators access to correctional institutions. However, here's the response. Last week in Leon County Circuit Court, attorneys representing Ron DeSantis, the governor, and the Division of Emergency Management Director Kevin Guthrie, they argued that those specific access laws are irrelevant in this context because guess what? It hinges on a technical distinction, and they assert that their facility is actually not even a prison. The facility is not even a state correctional institution. And it goes on to say that it's just a holding facility. So the criminal justice system, Alligator Alcatraz, operates as a short-term civil detention facility where undocumented immigrants are processed for deportation under federal authority. Consequently, the administration claims that the laws invoked by the Democrats, quote, do not entitle them as individual legislators to enter Alligator Alcatraz at their pleasure, unquote. These guys apparently had some kind of a meltdown, and they just can't handle it. And so that's what we're having to go through in court right now. Any commentary on this, guys? And I tell you, that is one facility I would love to go take a tour of, by the way. And it's only about 4 hours away. Randy Sutton.
Well, I'm glad that DeSantis got the, you know, he's doing the right thing. He's standing up to the political left who grandstanding and making a big, you know, show of this thing. That's this is all about politics. It has nothing to do with justice. And I'm glad to see that DeSantis is doing exactly what he should be doing, and that is standing up for the rights of the people.
Yeah, you know, it kind of reminds me of Trump 2.0, because they obviously anticipated this would happen, and you didn't have anyone like letting them in, and then while they're in roaming around, they make phone calls and they have to kick them out and stuff. You know, these guys were prepared, they anticipated this, and they handled it in spectacular fashion. So you gotta love that. Now, we've got some stories with video components, and we've got some pretty sensational stuff. This first one's that fight. I can tell Travis is getting all worked up. He's already gone through one energy drink, maybe two on the break. And so I can't wait to get input on this one. So we're gonna jump over to our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter, and it's at rumble.com. And I've got less than a minute, so I'm gonna go through as much of this as I can before a second commercial break. But we have a body cam video. It shows a man that sucker punches a Newton police officer.
Daniel, put the bag down.
Why?
Just put the bag down.
For what?
Put the bag down. Put the phone in your pocket.
No.
Put the phone in your pocket.
Recorded. Get off you're of me. Be, you're not going to touch
detained.
Me.
You're being
don't
detained.
Don't touch me.
You're being detained.
Dad, you hear
you're
it?
Being detained.
Oh, yeah?
On your back.
Get off of me.
Put your hands on your
get
back.
Get off of me.
Put your hands on your back.
All right.
Put your hands on your back.
Why did you come at me? Why did you come at me?
I told you.
Why did you come at me?
Dude, please, you stop.
Just talk to me.
You're being detained. That is it. That is what I told you right now. You want
to go?
Swing on me.
You don't hurt my
when.
And you know they're both pretty good sized dudes. Here I am talking to a guy. Yeah, I got Travis Yates on my show. So, you know, I mean, you know, Travis, you probably dwarf those dudes. You're probably thinking, you know, I don't know what the issue was, you know, but anyhow, we've got I'm just gonna whet the appetite on this one. In Newton, Connecticut, this Newton man ends up being charged with assaulting a police officer during a disturbance call. He's 40 years old, arrested on Saturday after police respond to a 911 call for a disturbance. So I'll leave it there. There is a fight, chokehold, headlock. There's a lot of stuff going, getting ready to go down. So stick with us, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys, introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and their Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. The embodiments of duty rifle excellence now being tailored for the civilian customer. And that means that now you guys can start getting your hands on some of this primo stuff. And their M5 AR three-weight platform, spectacular. So don't settle for less. When you can have the best, head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. You'll be glad that you did. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody watching the show. I'm going to share with you guys after this story what we have going on for Thanksgiving. But this is a pretty wild story. I'm just going to go back and refresh the memory here. Rumble.com. This is Butters, the name of the channel, our favorite law enforcement video channel at Rumble. We've got a body cam video showing a man sucker punching a Newton police officer in Newton, Connecticut. So this guy gets charged with assaulting a police officer during a disturbance call. So the bad guy's name is Daniel Morris. He's 40 years old. He's arrested on Saturday after police respond to a 911 call involving a disturbance, but that's pretty much all the information there is about the call. So Officer Habernan arrives and he tries to speak with Morris and detain him. So our cop is tooling down the road. It looks like it's a long driveway with a house at the end. And we've got our bad guy, suspect walking up the driveway towards the incoming police vehicle. And he's got like a white trash bag in his left hand tooling down the road. So our cop, not knowing what's going on, he starts giving the guy commands. And the guy, our bad guy, is automatically a bad guy. He is non-compliant. So here our cop tells him to put his hands up, and drop the bag. He's very resistant. Cop gets out of the car, approaches him and stuff. And the guy keeps saying, why? So then he puts his hands up like he's going to surrender. He sucker punches the cop in the freaking mouth. And so now the officer Habernan, he's completely by himself. So his department said that he responded proportionately. And I would say that's a pretty accurate statement. So the cop holds off with a left cross and then they just go at it. So Morris continues to fight our police officer, places the cop in a headlock and in a freaking chokehold, if you can believe that. Now the officer reportedly was able to lift this 220-pound bad guy over his head and get out of the choke. And then the bad guy keeps fighting with the officer, strikes him again in the face while they fight on the ground. Now the officer ends up on top of the bad guy, straddling him, and then all hell breaks loose. Right, Randy? I mean, right, left, right, just right, left, just starts hammering this guy, and the bad guy I would say that our cop had a lot better cardio fitness than our bad guy, because he kind of fizzled out. So the officer overpowered and outperformed Morris, according to the Newton police chief. And both Officer Hivernan and Morris, our bad guy, suffered minor injuries to the faces. They were seen by EMS, cleared by the Danbury Hospital. So they both went to the hospital. Our bad guy charged with assault on a police officer, interfering and resisting arrest and disorderly conduct. He was being held with $75,000 cash bond, scheduled to be arraigned in the Danbury Superior Court. And that was on November the 24th, a couple days ago. So I haven't heard how that worked out for him. But I love it when we have one for the good guys. Randy, you want to start us off with this one?
I would say that this officer was ready for the action, and this is a real true fight to the finish here. And you know, of course, there will be those who go, well, why did he punch him so many times? Well, the reality is that when you're in a fight for your life, you're in a fight for your life. And this officer was, and he took care of business. So it was policing at its best.
Yeah, love it. Mr. Yates.
Very refreshing to finally see, as Randy so eloquently said, an officer ready for the fight. And of course, that fight, as you all know, I've been on a sort of a personal mission when it comes to this issue. Officer assaults have increased every year since 2020. It's culminated in last year's data, where over 86,000 police officers were assaulted, an all-time record. This has gone up 20 to 30% in the last decade. It's actually higher than that. Only about half the departments report that data. And it's mainly being caused because the majority of officers and the majority of the videos we watch here on this show, they're not ready for the fight. And they're seeing all of the indicators before the fight. You saw the indicators. You saw him not complying. You saw him refusing to drop what's in his hand. And we took care of it. That's how you avoid officers getting killed, officers getting assaulted, officers getting hurt, is you have to get ahead of the fight. And we've convinced the public somehow that we have these magical powers to just de-escalate every encounter. Whenever there's a fight, it's somehow our fault. We have to deprogram that. Much of it's caused by our weak, cowardly chiefs that keep pushing this. By the way, there's no scientific data behind de-escalation. Every department out there has it. They're all promoting it. But guess what? The data is clear. There's no research to support it, because trust me, we would know it if there was. And Dr. Robin Engel has been saying this for years now. And so it's time we get back to protecting officers. And that begins with what we just saw in this video, which, you know what? Yeah, fighting doesn't look pretty on camera. Well, stop fighting cops and we'll stop looking pretty, because there's no cop that wants to get in a fight. There's no cop that wants to get in the situation, because as Randy said, every fight with us is not just a fight. We have a gun on our hip. Okay. So every fight you have to be concerned about, there's a gun involved in the fight, whether the bad guy has a gun or not. And so there's no option for us to lose. We win every time. We have got to take the fight to them when this happens. And I'm so, so glad we're finally seeing this from this video. It needs to be more of it. If you want to find out more, reach out to me, because I will travel anywhere in this country to convince people of this, because I'm sick and tired of seeing cops getting hurt and killed when it just doesn't have to happen.
You know, I saw our cop on the ground on his knee doing knee strikes to the common peroneal area on the bad guy. This was just, I'd like to know what their level of training is. I think their defensive tactics training has got to be working out pretty well. And you know, bad guy's lucky. You know, you put a comp in like a chokehold, you know, you're talking lethal force opportunity right there. So he's lucky the cop, you know, didn't go lethal on his butt. Yeah, one for the good guys. And I love to see guys actually, I like to see strikes in a situation like this where cops are just backing away, going for the taser and creating distance if they have to. You know, we had a guy that wasn't scared to go hands on. And yeah, anybody can get sucker punched. But man, he handled it. It didn't discourage him. He handled it well. That was pretty refreshing, as Travis said. So final words, Randy.
Yeah. Travis, the name of your new book, I have it. The Myth of De-escalation.
Hey, that you may be on to something. That does have a nice.
Well, listen, it is, I don't want to just set people off here, but I've done a deep dive on this. And departments that have instituted last resort policies and mandatory de-escalation, their officer assault rate is skyrocketing. Their use of force rate is skyrocketing. And you go, well, why is that? You've made these fancy policies with this fancy IECP perf languages. We walk around like a clown, right? How could that be? Well, it's because when you let these behaviors go and you don't address it like we saw in this video, use of force is actually increased. And so you have to get involved in the fight early. And so I find it very ironic that in a world that's supposed to believe the science, when the science doesn't support this nonsense, we continue to let it go. And so this doesn't land on academics because they do what they do. This doesn't land on politicians. They do what they do. This doesn't land on the media. They do what they do. This lands on the police chiefs making decisions that are purposely getting off killed, and the assault rate is skyrocketing. The state of Virginia has a statewide policy that says you will only use force as a last resort. That's the state of Virginia. So every department has to adopt it. Nobody stood against it. Some associations were for it. And guess what? Since they've implemented that, their officer assault rate has increased 124%. And that's not the only state. You get me going, I won't stop. I'm not stopping until this turns around.
So how can people get more information, Travis, and get a hold of you?
I'm rolling out a complete certification course to stop this mayhem in January. If you want sort of the pre-release of that, the pre-cost of that, go to travisyates.org. Just reach out to me. I'll give you all the information on it. But I'm telling you right now, it is designed to lower use of force, lower officer assaults, lower line of duty deaths, and I have the research to support it. It's the exact opposite of the complete mayhem we've been pushing towards this profession for the last 10 years that's gotten us in this position. Keep in mind, gentlemen, violent crime has been ticking down since 2021. Even so slowly, it's been ticking down. At the same time, officer assault rates have increased. That doesn't compute. Normally, when violent crime ticks down, officer assaults tick down. It coincides. For the first time in history, it's opposite. It's because of these cowardly decisions by these departments that are putting their officers in harm's way.
Wow. It sounds like this course will bring liability down too.
100%. 100%. Now, the same cowards that are implementing this probably won't want it, but the officers need to know about it. And yeah, it's going to give them a system of safety that will protect them.
I love it. I think it's a win-win for the agency and for the officer. I mean, how can you say no to that?
And I got to be honest, Chip. I talked to Randy about this. I've struggled with this because, you know, I talk about leadership everywhere. And I'm like, I don't know if I should be doing this. I should be talking about leadership. But then again, it's the most important job of a leader to keep officers safe. It's your most important job to give them the tools, resources to keep them safe. So we should all be talking about this regardless of what space you're in. I'm shocked. I'm one of the few that talks about it. It drives me crazy. We have these big police organizations that keep pushing this nonsense down our throat. You know, the FBI, our own FBI has said in their research and study that departments that have last resort policies are the more likely to have officers killed. That's from the FBI, and our departments keep going down this road. We're actually seeing this in real time. We're seeing it play out. It's time we speak out and act against it.
Wow. Excellent. Well, look, thanks. And congratulations and good luck with the new venture. Guys, I'm going to whet the appetite for the next story. We got a commercial break coming up, though, but Albuquerque police officer fatally shoots a woman who had a knife in her hand.
One's thirst. Hi. Put that down. Put it down. Put it down.
And she was supposed to be naked, but she wasn't when they got there. We're going to talk about that in a second. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys. You know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But gunlearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, listen to this. The founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, if you're a chief or sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You can go to GunLearn.com to get more information. And again, that is GunLearn.com. LeoRoundtable.com. Welcome back, Leo Roundtable, LeoRoundtable.com. And yeah, interesting discussion during the commercial break. And just so you see it, Travis, Sheriff Jesse Watch is over on Facebook right now, one of our Facebook streams, saying that he'll sign something for you. So he's in your corner. So
what I want him to sign is that customized guitar from the Wounded Blue that I just put a bid in on. So when I win that, he can sign that for me.
All right, and we got Christopher Campbell. He missed the website, so he's asking for a website that he can go to get more information. So
guitars, the number 4heroes.com. Guitarsforheroes.com.
Do not bid on that guitar, man. That's my guitar. Don't bid on that Wounded Blue customized guitar. I will come over there and take it from you.
And he's a strap. You know, I've never met Travis in person, but the videos I've seen, he's just the guy you want to be on your side of the fight, you know? So, yeah. He's one of those guys, you know, when you have your backup arriving and you know that it's Travis, you know, you know he's got your back. It's like,
well,
it's
one thing. Chip, Travis is one of the most important voices in law enforcement, and he has been for many years. He's been a pioneer when it comes down to leadership and use of force. And he is the voice. It's amazing.
Would you say he's animated?
That's a good word.
I love it. All right.
I've been called a lot worse.
Rumble.com. This is Butter. Albuquerque police officer fatally shoots a woman who had a knife in her hand. Again, Albuquerque. We got two stories in Albuquerque. We have time to get to both of those. But Albuquerque police, they're investigating the officer after an officer shoots and kills a female near the Owl Cafe in Northeast Albuquerque. So according to the police, officers get a dispatch there, report of a female with no clothes on, but she's got possession of knives. So when the officers get there, the person who had called the police, they found that had already taken the knives away from the female, who had then entered into an apartment. But it doesn't take long. The female exits the apartment, comes down the stairwell. She's clothed, but she has one knife, and she's got both her hands elevated in the air, and she's walking towards the freaking officer. Now, the officer... Guys, I there's no secret. I love to see long guns. We're still covering scenarios where officers need long guns and the sheriffs or chiefs are not giving them, you know, and I realize there may be restrictions with, you know, county commissions and city councils and all this kind of stuff. Our cops need long guns. This cop had a long gun. She's advancing on him. She's got a knife in her hand, but both her hands are elevated. She's not following commands. She's getting closer. He fires one shot from his rifle, and she ends up dying from her injury. So it's tragic that we have a death, even if it's a bad person, but it was a non-compliant bad person as well. And we did not have a cop getting stabbed as well. So commentary on this, gentlemen. What are your comments on this shooting? I see Randy making the move. So go ahead, Randy.
Well, I'll tell you, I got a little issue with this.
Okay.
First of all, this woman, she looked like Frankenstein, right? She was clearly out of her mind. She looked like a zombie with a knife. It looked like a horror movie. But there was also an opportunity for low lethal or lower lethal force here, based on the distance and the potential for there were several officers there, and I'm not sure that the rifle shot from that distance was the needed to be done at that particular moment. I think that there was a possibility to take this woman into custody, without the use of deadly force at that particular moment.
And you know, I got to admit, when I saw the video, the distance looks like it's substantial. Well, I shouldn't, not really. It looks like it's a decent distance, which made me question. However, I had to remind myself, and I don't know if this is the case or not. And in this one, it is a body cam, and it can distort the distance, you know. So I have to admit, when I saw the video, I did think the same thing. Now, I don't know that I would have gone. I don't really encourage, unless you've got. I know you said there were other officers there, Randy. I wouldn't have encouraged the main officer going less lethal, because if it doesn't work and she decides to start sprinting, there's no way you're going to be able to protect herself.
Right. Right. But, I'm in total agreement with that.
But in a train situation with more than one person, no reason why if you trust the other officers that have the less lethal, there's no reason why you shouldn't go there. So I wish we had more information, or maybe a better video that really showed the distance. You know, I tried to give the guy the benefit of the doubt. Travis, your thought. We have about just under 5 minutes, guys.
Yeah, well, you know, we've all heard of the 21-foot rule, but that research has been pretty much completely destroyed because it's actually longer than that. We're talking 25 to 30 feet is actually what it is. 21-foot rule is barely enough time for them to get on you. So I agree with that on the distance. But I will say this about the video. Rifles work very well. I mean, he turned her into a rock really quick.
You know, I got to admit, now look, guns can malfunction. So I'm not necessarily, you know, so I always worry about, they don't malfunction a lot, but they do. And especially like when you're in a fight and stuff and they're not out and they're not allowed to perform properly, you know, maybe, some of the discharge is absorbed in the hand or in the fight, or, you know, you get a stovepipe or double feet or whatever. But the cop seemed pretty cool and collected. He only fired a single shot. He didn't do a double tap. It didn't unload the magazine on her. He was pretty confident in the ability. But I get what Randy was saying about the distance, because, you know, all of us here value life so incredibly much. And we hate to see a loss of a life, especially if there's a possibility of someone making it out alive and getting the help that they need. Obviously, she, like you said, she needed help. We've got another story with a video component. I'd like to kind of like go to, instead of the one with the police chief that makes a screw up in Georgia, I'd like to go with the one where the teen smashes the drink on the cop's head, if that's okay, because it's kind of, I see Randy's all excited about it. So RVMnews.com, teen smashes drink on cop's head, gets tackled into the pavement. This cop was so unsuspecting of what was going to go down. He's got his arms crossed, hostile crowd, calling him everything under the, you know, in the book. And so this 18-year-old student arrested Friday at Kannapolis, North Carolina, allegedly throws a drink at a police officer during a walkout demonstration involving students from A.L. Brown High School. And she's a student. So the incident happens around noon. There's 75 students protesting the recent ICE activity nearby Charlotte. They don't even know what they're protesting. Police identify the student as Emily Cavantes Romas. The video shows this Romas approaching this Kannapolis police officer from behind. He never sees it coming. Hits him in the back of the head with this large fountain drink. And the whole crowd goes, oh, they just like scream. They think it's just great entertainment. You know, so moments later, takes the officer a second. He turns around, sees her running away, and he starts moving. And I'm thinking, well, dude, this guy, it's like a slow motion move, but he is moving. He catches up to her, which I was surprised, and gets on top of her, and the crowd's hostile. Oh, my gosh. They did everything but throw rocks and bottles at him. He placed her in handcuffs. Took him a little while, but he finally got her. Kannapolis Communications Director Annette Keller told the Salisbury Post that students had gathered downtown about 30 minutes from Charlotte and that the officers were sent to ensure everyone's safety. And Keller later said that most students protested peacefully until this happened. And you know, you can, anyhow, that's what happened. We got a minute and 42 seconds to discuss this, but I was curious what you guys thought. I'm just trying to see what happened with the girl. I know that she, you know, they had some other issues down there. I don't know what ended up. It says that she was later released. So, I mean, I don't know if she was just recogged, you know, released on her own recognizance, or I would have liked to have seen her. If it would have been me or my troops, she would have made the trip. What do you think, Travis?
We talked about mental illness earlier in the show, and I think if we shut off mainstream media, our mental health issue in this country would get so much better. You know, this whole ICE issue is so ridiculous, especially when President Obama deported more people in history. He deported over 3 million people, which is a combination of every president in history before him, and nobody said a word. Nobody thought anything of it, because it tends to, there is a law that Congress passes that you can't be in this country illegally. And so ICE is simply fulfilling their mission. And it was a mission that, you know, pre the last decade, they did this routinely. They routinely did this. In fact, you can Google ICE raids and you'll get articles from the 90s, the 2000s, where they used to routinely do this. So people are being manipulated by the media and losing their mind. And I don't make them blameless, but people need to wake up, understand what's happening to them. They are being manipulated by a media industrial complex that doesn't care about them. They don't care that this lady did this. They don't care that she's arrested. This is the product of what they do, and they're educating people this way to do this.
Well, Randy Sutton.
Well, this seconds. Is and once again, this is an example of the insanity that's taking place with people assaulting police officers. If in a one-on-one situation, this idiot would never have thrown this drink on this cop. But because she felt empowered by this crowd, she acted in the way that she did because she felt that she was going to be okay. And so this shows, once again, she wasn't afraid of consequences. And what are the consequences going to be? That's really the issue here.
It needs to be her working at McDonald's for the rest of her, for at least the next half of her life, at least anyhow, so they'll be able to get a new well-paying job when the employers find out what she did.
Well, that's President Trump used to work at McDonald's, yeah. So that's perfect.
20 seconds, guys. I want to mention the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3. I support them monthly. Please consider doing the same. Over here at Rumble, we got MVS saying, I think Travis Shate should run for president. So there you go. And guys, please support our sponsors. They go to the great lengths to bring the show to you. Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, AeroPrecision USA, GunLearn.com, and Medicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, Two Bells and Fish, OrlandoBass.com. We'll see you guys. We have shows the next 2 days. Please watch them. I'm going to keep going for the radio portion or for the satellite company. Guys, tomorrow, Grady Judd on Thanksgiving Day.